Located atop a hill with expansive views of the beaches of Aquidneck Island, St. George's boasts a lavish campus and a roster of prominent alumni. Lockett Ford Ballard Jr. graduated from St. George's in 1964. It was an all-boys school with only about 200 students, modeled in the style of a British boarding school.
It was very traditional. My last year, St. George's admitted its first black student, which was much of a major change. That was back in the era where they'd suspend you or throw you out of school for smoking a cigarette.
According to Ballard, when an exchange student from England was caught smoking, he was sent home within 24 hours. Despite strict rules, Ballard says his memories are generally positive. He was a rule follower, so much so that his nickname was Pious.
I was very much a goody-two-shoes. Somebody tried to teach me to swear my second year there.
Ballard spent his time with the artsy crowd, as he calls it, avoiding the bullying and hazing some former students say was pervasive. One student who graduated in 1970 and didn't want to be recorded for this story told me during his time at St. George's, bullying was ubiquitous. He believes faculty knew about at least some of the bullying, but viewed hardship as a way to shape boys into men. He describes being pinned down by students who cut his hair and threw him fully clothed into the school's pool. Decades later, he says he experienced a panic attack during a casual visit to the campus. Ballard remembers nothing like that, but both were surprised to find out about widespread allegations of abuse by faculty and, in a few cases, students.
Something like that that is so hidden and the two people involved aren't going to do anything to inform. How do you find out what's going on?
Some former students who have come forward recently never mentioned their abuse during their time at St. George's, but others say the school did nothing or simply let the faculty members in question go quietly. And it seems that's not unusual. People with knowledge of sexual abuse cases say many schools have let employees leave without pursuing public investigations, especially at elite institutions like St. George's.
There was a culture of discretion and not making a big deal out of things.
Jennifer Day was just 23 when she started working as an art teacher at St. George's in the late 1970s. In addition to her classroom duties, Day designed costumes for theater productions, helped out in the athletic department, and served as a girls' dorm master.
I could be extremely creative there, and I loved that. I really enjoyed the other faculty, and I very much enjoyed the students.
Day says she was shocked to learn of extensive allegations of sexual abuse and vicious bullying. She says the faculty was protective of students and attentive to their needs.
If students had problems, even emotional problems, we spoke about them in our meetings, and we were very, vigilant about addressing the problems in the best way that we could.
By the time Day was teaching at St. George's, the school had gone co-ed, but says in many ways it was still a traditional Episcopal boarding school. She says a conservative atmosphere contributed to her decision to leave after just 2 years. A short time after her departure, one of her former students, Ann Scott, confided in her that she had been abused while at St. George's. Scott says she was subjected to regular abuse by a school athletic trainer, Al Gibbs. Scott is now one of the alums spearheading efforts to hold the school accountable for the alleged abuse by Gibbs and at least five other employees. Day finds it upsetting that it took the school decades to confront the issue publicly.
It's very painful to think that this was allowed to go on and this was not spoken of and this was kept under wraps and this was very discreetly swept under the rug.
When a secret festers in the dark, it does a lot of damage.
Kyle Hentz says he experienced sexual abuse before he went to St. George's for his final 3 years of high school, starting in 1979. Jennifer Day was his art teacher. He remembers an atmosphere of privilege attending school alongside students with names like Colgate and Mellon.
It's an elite environment. I mean, you're talking about probably the most spectacular campus in the whole country. For a private school. Not everyone gets to go to a school like that.
Hence says the students were kept on strict schedules with most hours of the day planned.
In class by 8, you know, so you're up early. Study hall is from 8 to 10, so it was 2 hours of study hall. We went to church twice a week. We also had classes on Saturday. So the week was full, and the academics were intense.
hence also participated in one of the school's signature programs, a semester at sea aboard the school-owned vessel Geronimo, tagging sharks in the Caribbean. He also remembers the bullying that others described and believes that faculty turned a blind eye.
I think the faculty was aware of these traditions and accepted it. It was just part of St. George's culture and they just passed down through students, through generations of students.
One former student from that era described an unspoken code of silence that students never tell on each other. Hence says he was never a target, but he was dealing with his own issues. He threw himself into the sailing team, academics, and drugs and alcohol. He was eventually kicked out of St. George's for cheating, but Hence doesn't blame the school.
You break the rules, you pay the consequences. It forced me to look at my behavior. It was a blessing in hindsight. It was difficult, but it's a blessing.
Now Hence says he's angry the school has failed to live up to its own ideals. He's been vocal in his criticism, writing letters and op-eds to local news outlets.
The school has let down its community. The school has put the lives of many other people in other communities and other schools in jeopardy because faculty members, because headmasters, because the Board of Trustees did not report what was going on.
St. George's may have changed dramatically since the 1980s. One current parent describes her child's experience as overwhelmingly positive and reports none of the bullying described by older alums. Another student who attended in the 1990s recalls a warm environment where he made some of his closest friends. Lockett Ford Ballard Jr. plans to leave his estate to the school.
St. George's is going through an unfortunate period, but their main raison d'etre, their mission is to provide a very high-quality secondary education. I think they do a fantastic job of that.
As for the school, St. George's has committed to a new independent investigation into the allegations of sexual abuse and will pay for mental health services for victims. Some alumni, like Kyle Hence, want more, including a peace and reconciliation process and a larger conversation about bullying and abuse across private schools. John Bender, Rhode Island Public Radio.